Is it us? Is it real or is it Memorex?
It's playing.
And you know what? And it's like, gee, Michael, it's Michael talking right? about a hashtag, you know, relating to his colon. And
it is. And
who could say what episode that was, right? Like that? Or is that live? We have no idea.
I don't know. I couldn't tell for a minute there. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. So,
possession.
Well, yeah. We may be on the radio right now. I don't know.
We don't know.
But in case, anyway, well, I'll still tell you, Lisa, about Liberty
Forum. Yeah, I want to hear. Tell
We're
me.
Live. We're live now.
Yay!
Okay, good. Yay!
All right.
Keep talking, guys.
All right.
Excellent.
Anyway, Liberty Forum was this weekend, and it was in Manchester. It's an annual event of the Free State Project. And the special event this time was Ed Snowden via Skype.
Yeah.
So... this was,
who's
this
gotta
was
come up?
A fantastic opportunity yeah. for folks to...
James has got to come up. Come up, James.
Yeah. Hey, I'm up.
Come up louder.
I'm
this
up.
Is live radio.
I am up. I'm cranked up.
So tell me about Rand Paul, if you want to talk about something that you can just spew on. Go for it.
Well, you know, right now we're talking about Liberty Forum. So, you know, there were some Rand Paul types that were there. It was kind of, it's not like the like Pork Fest. This
Nobody's
is a lot
naked.
More... A lot more suits.
Nobody's naked and tripping and microdosing on radio.
There were only two people doing that. So, in contrast,
I heard good things about you. Ian Freeman said that he hung out with you and Derek Slopey, and said he learned some new things about you that he likes a lot, but he didn't go into detail. What's that about, dude?
I have no. How could I know? But anyway, yeah, it's always a good time to get to hang out with Ian, and you know he's usually so busy that I don't get many chances. So that was pretty cool, and I got to hang out with there. You know, quite a few really awesome folks at Liberty Forum. But I have to say, it's a lot. You know, it's just a little more square than Pork Fest. You know, it's like it's not quite
more
the
ties.
Same crowd.
But, more ties, less speedos.
A lot of people walking around with badges on, okay? Like, I'm showing
a
that
lawyer.
What a office they've been elected to. Like, they're really proud of being elected and being in office and stuff. And you know what? And you know, go ahead. That's fine. You know, they did the work. They got there. I don't mind them taking credit for it. It's just kind of weird to have special jewelry that designates you something. You know, like
at Pork Fest,
just
at
not
Pork
my Fest, style. You know,
at Pork Fest, someone who's tripping would like. Slither up to them and say, your badge has no power here. Because
exactly. Right. At Porkfest, people have their own badges that say shiny badges don't grant extra rights. Right. That's the gag at Porkfest. But this is like, look at my this shiny badge indicates that I am a member of the government. But you know, some of them are still pretty cool. So like Amanda. So I'm not really knocking them. You know, great event overall. You know, they really did a nice job. I think Angela Harris was the primary organizer. You know, super pro event. You know, everything worked great. So kudos to them.
Nice.
So RT reported on it, of course, because Snowden. And they said, the Liberty Forum in Manchester is an annual convention-style conference, mostly attended by liberals, many of whom regard Snowden as a hero. I know.
What?
Wow.
That's what I said. What? I had
Who
to read
Putin
it twice.
Who think he's got over there? Putin's like, I'm going to trade that liberal for a Super Bowl ring.
Yes.
Okay, so anyone knows he
wants another one?
Edward Snowden. You know, I thought you were kidding about that. And I looked it up, and Putin really did pocket some guy's Super Bowl ring. So, you know, some guy was showing him the Super Bowl ring. Putin, the president of Russia, said, may I see this ring? And the guy hands him his $25,000, you know, you have to be an owner of a team. It was an owner of a team or a player.
Or at least maybe either, but definitely a player.
Yeah. And it was the owner of the team and hands him the ring. And Putin puts it on and says, I could kill someone with this ring. It's so big. And then puts his hand in his pocket. And then three KGB agents hustle him out of the room while the owner of the ring's like, dude. And then the owner of the ring immediately gets a call from the White House saying, okay, if anyone asks, you gave him the ring. Otherwise, it's going to be an incident.
Right, right. We don't want to start another, you know, like this could be the next Gulf of Tonkin, you know?
Yeah,
like.
Yeah. I told my wife about this, who's like very, very knowledgeable of history and Russian history. And she's like, that's so Russian. Yeah, but so Edward Snowden, the hero, some people say he's a traitor. We say he's a hero, the guy who worked for the NSA and released a bunch of documents about how evil the government is and how they're spying on everyone and lying about it, and then fled to Russia for freedom. Like, how bad is America when you flee to Russia for freedom? And,
well, you know, he didn't intend to end up in Russia. That was something that he actually mentioned during this. He says, well, right now, he says the reason he's in Russia is because his passport was deactivated by the U.S. State Department.
Wasn't he?
He said his intention was to get to Iceland and then
Alpha Centauri.
Then I forget where. Maybe Central America. I forget what he said after that. Latin America. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like that Tom Hanks movie that's based on a true story where the guy is like lives in an airport for 3 years because his country dissolved while he's in the air.
That was based on a real story?
Yeah,
because there was a guy that was like living in an airport forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, I remember that story.
That's kind of what happened with Snowden. Snowden became a stateless human because his. Well, not really. They took his passport. They wouldn't let him travel. But America still claims to own him and wants to prosecute him. And so speaking of articles, there was an article in the AP Wire that got picked up a lot, which is kind of cool because, you know, little Liberty Forum in Manchester got picked up by Russia Today and the Associated Press. And they said that he was willing. They said that he said in his keynote speech, which James was in the room for, that that he was willing to come back to America if he'll get a fair trial. And I laughed at that. Like, he's not going to get a fair trial.
But it's a little more specific than that.
They didn't give the full details. What are the full details?
But the specific request was a fair trial where he could use, like, public interest defense. Okay? It's like, you know, and then present that to a jury and let them decide. But, you know, what was really – and he also made them promise not to torture him. Yeah. Would be part of the agreement.
Because they did torture what's his name, the other guy that's serving life in prison, in military prison.
Manning.
Her name, yeah, yeah, Chelsea.
I didn't know they tortured Manning.
Well, they did stuff that's considered torture, didn't they?
I certainly
like
would.
Sleep deprivation.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, and solitary confinement, isolation. That it's definitely torture.
And
they're
messing with his temperature too. I think like freezing him out and heating him up.
Wow.
No, I agree that's torture. I just didn't know.
Yeah.
Well, but the, you know, the interesting part of it is, though, that it was sort of his reason why. And I thought this was interesting. Of course, he has self-interest in not being tortured or going to jail for life or, you know, being disappeared. But he said he didn't want to be their trophy to hang on the wall to discourage others.
Their pike on their head on a pike in front of the castle,
exactly.
So to speak.
Like, right. You know, it's like in the... He didn't want to be a head on a pike to scare away people. And that is, you know, what he said is his primary motivation for not just coming back and just, you know, walking right into a jail cell, basically.
So he's willing to serve some decades in prison, it sounds like. But
I don't know. I mean, I would hope not. But
but he wants to be able to, you know, have his moment in court and give his speech in the third act, basically.
Well, he thinks that you know, that a jury wouldn't convict him, and you know, if I thought there was
he doesn't know anything
guarantee of justice, you know, right? If there's he may be a little optimistic about the justice system, or he's not. He's not really saying I expect to be given a fair trial, and I'm coming back. What he's just saying is, hey, you want me to come back? This is actually my condition. You scrap your whole, I would interpret that as scrap your whole justice system, start over, come up with something vaguely fair, and call
it's
me.
It's basically saying let the jury pool be pulled out of Pork Fest with James handing everyone a Fiji flyer.
That seems fair to me, but I mean, you know, having seen firsthand enough federal cases and just to understand how, like, they would find a jury that had never heard of him, had no idea.
Federal juries have like a 93% conviction rate. They're way higher than state juries.
Oh, it would be probably higher than that. But, you know, they could actually find a jury that not only has never heard of Ed Snowden, but they would convince them that Ed Snowden is responsible for, like, mass murder around the world and death
Benghazi.
And mayhem. And,
yeah.
And we have to get this terrorist and do your duty.
Clinton's leaked emails are his fault, they'd say. Yeah. We'll be back.
Yeah. You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. Tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
That's why it's a teaching hospice.
Welcome to the Freeform College Radio experience that is the Freedom Fiends. That's what we're sounding like tonight. I used to be a DJ on college radio. This is Michael Dean talking to James Babb and Lisa DeLascio. And Lisa just returned from Northern Michigan hanging out with Lou. And, you know, you guys hit it off pretty well, didn't you?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You don't have to say any more than that.
No, nope. But I do want to, you know, we have a dating service now, and it's called Fiend Chat, and it's on the Freedom Fiends app, which everyone should go get. We just passed 100 installs, which is, you know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it is a lot. 100 people have this installed between the Google Play Store and Amazon. And it is a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket, and it's free. And you can listen to Fiends, you can listen to LRN, you can listen to Live, you can listen to old shows, new shows, random feed of shows, all sorts of stuff. You can brainwash yourself to Libertarian Paradise. So go to the Freedom Fiends site, click on the link on the top right that says Freedom Fiends Android. If you're on iOS or Windows, that's your problem. You're not one of the cool kids. But
right.
Yeah, so another thing I want to talk about is the BIPCOT flag. So BIPCOT is the license, the no government license that we've come up with that we put out all our media under. It basically means that anybody can reuse it in any way they want for any purpose, commercial or non-commercial, with or without prior written consent. Anyone except governments. Governments are not allowed to. So the really good news is James and Derek and Christian did some outreach at Liberty Forum and printed out some BIPCOT licenses and handed them out. And it got the interest of Virgil Verduga, who is putting out Cell 411, which is a replace the government, replace 911 with your own cell phone and call your own people in an emergency app. And there have been a bunch of these that have come out, but this one is really going to do it. And it's getting a lot of interest even before it's on the Google Play Store and the iOS. They're going to do it in iOS too. And this is like real software. Like, you know, not that Fiend Phone isn't real software, but pretty much the Fiends are the only people. The Fiends and three other podcasts are using Fiend Phone. But this is going to be widely used, and they're going to put this thing out, BIPCOT. And that's because you guys walked up to him and handed him flyers. So I want to thank you for your service there, James. You did
nice.
A good job.
Probably, well, I think cool. Christian should get the credit for that. Definitely.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Christian Saucier.
Yeah.
Yep. Good guy.
So,
and you also licensed Lynn Ulbrich, the Silk Road mom.
I feel she needs a little. She could use any protection she can get. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that the BIPCOT, you know, magic words are enough in a case as big as that. She needs
she needs a little bit more than that. But you know, we are talking about, you know, Lynn Ulbrich, friend of the show,
best mom ever.
Yeah,
you're going to interview her next week for the Fiends, right?
Yes, she's been on the Fiends before, and I mean, you know, we don't bring on guests, right? Hardly ever.
Never.
It's got to be somebody like Lynn Ulbrich, and I was really excited to hear she wanted to come back on the Fiends. So I think that's awesome.
That is awesome.
I'd have Putin on. I'd have a bad guy on, too, but it would have to be someone as big as, like, Putin or Obama. So we could ask him, why do you kill brown children, Obama? Or why do you steal Super Bowl rings, Putin? Yeah.
No, I think we should ban those people because we're so covered Russian. Under BIPCOT, and oh, right. it would not really work.
They wouldn't be heard. It'd be like a vampire. We couldn't record them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so the BIPCOT flag, there are lovely, lovely BIPCOT flags. The there's a lovely picture of you and Derek Slopey and Mark Edge holding up the only BIPCOT flag in the world. You have flag zero. It's like patient zero. It's the infection number one. And I've given this to you. You now own this. And
I am the BIPCOT flag bearer.
You are the flag bearer. And your daughters can be the flag girls if they want.
We don't even like flags. I know.
But it's fun with flags with Dr. Sheldon Cooper. You ever see that?
No.
Yes.
Segment?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but you can now get BIPCOT flags for $16 postpaid. I don't get a cent of this. It all goes to the guy who's making them, who's in Iceland. Well, let's see. I think he's in China. They ship from China. You know, he sells all this like Guy Fawkes masks and like lefty anarchist stuff and black block stuff. It's called blackblock.com.
It's now a fashion brand. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's probably, if it's in China, like I imagine they're like, he can't sell his stuff in China. And there's probably like military, you know, guards outside the factory making sure that it only goes to the decadent West. Like, you know, one of the best rifles I own is made in Japan. And it's new. It's not like an antique. It's made in Japan. It's called a Hawa. And it's like it's illegal for anyone to own any gun in Japan, but they make guns and sell them to the decadent West, and they do a good job.
Wow, I didn't realize that they were so disarmed in Japan.
They are so disarmed; they can't even have swords there. We'll be back.
How do they kill themselves?
They go to the woods.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Get your own BIPCOT flag. I want to cover the earth with these flags. And the picture I'm going to use tonight, I think, is a Photoshop I did of me at the top of Mount Everest holding up a BIPCOT flag, which is really funny. And I was really intrigued by Mount Everest when I was my sickest, like 6 months ago. I'm kind of getting better. It's a slow process. But something I figured out, this is Michael Dean #update, MWD #, is that I've been putting too much water, like having my humidifier on my CPAP up too much. So I've basically been drowning myself every night. So I went without the, just took the humidifier out, took the little water repository out. And the thing is, I'm still getting some moisture in the air so I don't dry out my lungs, because the oxygen concentrator that's hooked up to it has its own, it's like bubbling water through like a bong. Like the oxygen goes through a bong basically. Mm. So I have enough, so I've turned that down, and I feel better. But back when I was, like, dying 6 months ago, James, you have a comment?
I was going to say, maybe we're giving you too much oxygen. If you need me to turn it down, I've got the app
the Fiends
ready.
App. Yeah. Well, the Fiends app has a way to, you can't turn it down to a dangerous level, but you can turn it down to where I'm not talking as fast. So, and it takes, like, you know, basically, like, if there's 10 Fiends on there, like a super majority of them, like 7, you know, more than 2/3 have to agree to turn it down. So get
usually
it's
when we've like we've been like tagged in like 17 tweets and 25 Facebook comments, and
yeah,
it's like
Steve Miller said,
just turn it down, you know.
Steve Miller complained today that he didn't get tagged, and he said, should I be, you know, happy or insulted that the hashtag MWD tag machine didn't tag me today? And I said, on the seventh day, MWD rested, man. So So back, I was really fascinated with Mount Everest, and Davia Barker and I did a show about it one time, and we talked about the fact that there's a bunch of corpses up there that they can't bring down.
Yeah,
and oxygen bottles.
Right.
Yeah. And Davi came up with a great line for climbing Mount Everest. He said, "Take nothing but pictures, leave nothing but corpses."
It's a fact. You know, I asked Gary Johnson about that when I had dinner with him in New York at the Liberty Fest. I didn't want to talk to him about like stupid politics stuff because, you know, it's a friendly dinner. So I'm like, I'm sitting next to a guy that climbed Mount Everest. Yeah, hell yeah. Like, that's awesome. So, you know, and I asked him about the bodies, and he said they're kind of, I don't know, I think they're not like really on the trail or something. He acted like they do have the trail. Yeah, there's
they
like they're
off the trail,
and there's a lot of taboos around bodies and stuff for the locals. So
yeah, because they're Sherpas, they're Buddhist.
Why don't we give Gary Johnson a Bipcot flag so next time he goes, he could like drape them over corpses?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, so I want people to order these. Like next time you feel like buying buttons or making a donation to the Fiends, instead buy yourself a Bipcot flag. And take it on tour and send me pictures of you licensing various parts of the world, Bipcot. Now, James, you and your kids often hike up to the top of hills in national parks, right? Like, I've seen a picture of you and Violet on top of Mount Washington in New Hampshire.
True. Yeah, yeah. So maybe me and Dorothy, so yeah.
Next time you do that, will you take a Bipcot? Who took that picture? Who was up there? Or did you use a timer?
Maybe another tourist or something, you know, like another hiker. I don't remember.
Yeah. You know, there's a problem with crime on Mount Everest. Like, people hand people their cameras and they say, ha ha, and run down the mountain with their camera. Seriously. Like,
really?
People get their stuff stolen up there all the time. It's like, what are you going to do? Call 911? Like, there are.
Push you down
like,
the mountain?
About,
I don't know.
Think about the mentality of the people that climb Mount Everest now that it's like a tourist thing where, like, you have to be really fit and really rich to be able to climb it. So it's like, you know, it's like heads of CEOs of corporations that are basically like jocks who rose up through the ranks, and they get up there and they're like, oh, I didn't bring enough oxygen. I'm going to take yours. Yeah, they do it.
Really?
Yep. Yep. And you know that when people come down from that, they often have to be on prednisone for a while to decompress from it. So I was just fascinated with the whole thing. But will you take that flag on your trips across the country and do like a, you know, remember that story about the guy who, the urban myth? No, it wasn't a sofa, the lawn gnome. Somebody had their lawn gnome stolen and then they got it back with a bunch of pictures of it all over the country.
That's funny.
Yeah, you know?
Do that.
Yeah.
Well, it's hardly an original idea, but sure. You know, I think it'll be fun just to see what we can Bipcot license that I made. I might end up, you know, someplace.
The Smithsonian.
We might be able to we might be able to protect one of these things. What if I go by Mount Rushmore and I could like drape it over over one of their noses? You know, like
I'm down.
Hey, I live right outside of DC. I could do the DC tour.
They'll just shoot you. They will just shoot you.
I think the flag will burst into flames if you bring it into D.C.
Yeah, it probably would spontaneously combust.
Or it can't be photographed in D.C. It's like a vampire. All right, so James has more. You want to talk a little bit about this awesome picture we're going to use for Lynn's interview next week of Lynn holding up a Bipcot sign. Lynn Ulbrich, the Silk Road mom. The wonderful lady who is the mother of the guy who's in prison for 17. I think they gave him 17 life terms plus cancer. Isn't that the sentence they gave him?
Yeah,
Something like that.
Yeah. And a dirty look.
For running a website. Yeah. No, after he dies, they're going to leave him in prison. They're going to let him. What if that's what they did when they had multiple life terms?
Yeah, you don't even get out after you're dead.
Oh, your corpse just stays in there for 170 years,
and they keep billing you for the room too. And
they bill your mom for the room. Yeah, so she's great. She's his advocate. She does interviews. She's out spreading the word. And she had a heart attack, and she's still pounding the pavement. And
she's unstoppable. She is absolutely unstoppable. And
she is licensed Bipcot. I saw a picture.
Now, well, you know, it's a little bit late in coming, but You know, she is, when Ross is out, I will definitely point at Lynn and say she's the thing that the feds didn't anticipate. They never saw her coming. Like,
what if the next Silk Road has a Bipcot, like the header of it just says this site covered by a Bipcot, no government license. Do you think that would work in court?
Well, you know, no. Of course, right?
No, it wouldn't work in court.
But, you know, it's the whole thing is it's such a shame. Lynn did a great presentation at Liberty Forum. And, you know, somebody, even me, I followed the case, you know, for years now. And, I thought I knew, you know, like how unjust it was. And then she dropped a whole new layer of stuff about how ridiculous the court proceeding was and about how evidence that would have exonerated Ross was blocked over and over and over again, and the fraud and the corruption. It's just
that's why Snowden,
it's even deeper than I even imagined. Like, it's just
that's why I think no Snowden end to it. Is when Snowden says, if they promise to give me a fair trial, I'm like, no, they're going to use the same template they used for Ross for Snowden.
Well, and yep. Snowden is smart. You know, like you listen to him speak and you realize this guy is very clever. And I don't think he's naive enough to come back and put himself through the meat grinder like that. So,
yeah.
Because that is what it would be. It would be nothing but a soul grinder. I mean,
soul grinder. That's a great name for the court system in America.
Oh, man. It is so merciless. And conviction hungry. So seeing Lynn, you know, under any circumstance, is great, you know, but I'm really looking forward to the day when we can all celebrate some victories in Ross Ulbricht's case. It's just so grim.
Yeah.
I hope so. She's going to be in DC this weekend.
Oh, cool. Hopefully you'll get to see her.
I might be able to do that.
But it's like, even me, I'm looking at this stuff, like she was giving us information about the appeal and why the appeal is important. And I'm like, even I'm looking at this thinking like, oh, he's got to win a new trial. Look at that. It's so blatant, you know? And then I remember like, oh, that's right.
They
it's
make the
U.S.
The rules.
It's the U.S. federal government.
They make the
Sorry.
Rules.
But hey, did you check out that, the art project?
Yeah, Derek Slopey put together the website for it. It's
art.freeross.org. Yeah.
It's great.
This is really cool, and I think they launched it at the beginning of Liberty Forum on LRN, so it had been out there. And for people that haven't seen it yet, it's this big picture, and you sponsor a pixel at a time to reveal artwork behind this layer.
It's like
it's
an advent calendar. You know what an advent calendar is,
but with,
right?
I guess Christmas? Thousands of squares, and people are starting to write messages. So I'm going to write, at least start to write worms on there and pixels, and we'll see if we can get that filled in. It's been a really great fundraiser. It was a lot of work for Derek Slopey, and it's really brilliant and well done. So I'm really excited about that.
Worms.
Yeah,
anyway,
looking at it right now, looks good.
Yeah, and I asked Derek if he could come on for the for our interview with Lynn. So you know,
nice.
So they can talk about this, and you know, Derek has done other super stuff. You know, just behind the scenes, doesn't you know, like ask for limelight, but he did a thing.
I tried
to
put him on the air, and he's shy about it. He'd rather like sit behind the scenes and build Fiendphone.
Yeah, and that's great. He's a builder, and I love builders.
We're talkers. But, he's a doer.
Exactly. He created a thing like when you contribute to freeross.org, it automatically generates a tweet. It's just good stuff. I'm really looking forward to that upcoming interview. We're still trying to get it scheduled, but we will have to do this in the next, you know, definitely within the next week. So it's gonna be great.
And, you know, somebody, another programmer is getting interested in fiends here. This guy, Brian Gordon, sent me some screenshots tonight. There's a couple guys helping edit the shows. I edit the shows at night and put them up. But then there's one guy, Nathan the Ninja Squirrel, does the Sunday night shows like tonight. And then Scott, Scott Sanders, no relation to Bernie, no relation to Bernie, does the Monday night shows. Colonel Sanders. And but Brian Gordon is coming for your jobs, man. He made some software. He sent me screenshots of tonight of something that will automatically download and then edit and then upload the Freedom Fiends episodes. It's mind-blowing, man. I'm like, wow. Yeah, we got some real computer power behind us here. And I'm sure awesome. It'll be licensed BIPCOT.
We just, you know, we dream of the day when we have, self-aware robotic hosts that can just fill in.
Sample us. Yeah, they sample every episode ever. They know what we would say.
And then it could even, like, scan current events and, like, bring in the right keywords at the right time. Like,
yep. We'll be back after this trip to the market. There'll just be me saying that. It'll put it in the right place every time.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
In the Alpha Centauri region, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Talking to Lisa the last show. How you doing, Lisa?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. You haven't gotten much in here this episode, but it's even good when you don't. You're kind of like the Robin Quivers sometimes of this show, I think.
Whoa.
No. I mean,
I don't know if I should laugh or cry.
Sometimes you contribute a lot, and we just shut up, and you talk and drop mad scientists. But
it's better than being other characters from the Howard Stern show, right?
Yeah. Good point.
At least she's smart.
I'll take it.
She's smart and gets to make fun of Howard. There's other people on there that are basically retarded.
They're just like victims of butt bongo, you know?
Yeah, butt fungus. So James wants to monopolize this last segment. He wanted a long segment. I only gave him the central computer is only giving him a short segment because he wants to talk about politics. And when I listen to Free Talk Live and they talk about politics,
I don't want to talk about politics. Oh, hell no.
You want to talk about a politician and how evil he is and how stupid people are. So,
yelled at Liberty Forum by some people. That I respect, you know, for their work in related liberty fields, but they basically said this person told me that Rand Paul's campaign ended because he couldn't get the support of these anarchist purists. You guys ruined it for everybody.
You
anarchists,
your hatred of politics, aren't embracing our politics.
And I'm like, wow, like even if I could take credit for that, how you know I would. But how could I? I mean, really? Like, he was counting on us to get him through the GOP. Like, the GOP's not the problem. It's you guys and your anarchy. You're oh, man.
Also, like, what? How many votes did he think he'd get if every anarcho-capitalist in America actually, you know, bent over and voted? I mean, that's
right, look at how many votes his dad got, where people actually loved his dad, right? Yeah. Like the libertarians and like, you know, even people that would call themselves anarchists got behind Ron Paul, and he got like a single digits everywhere, right? Like I don't think he ever cracked two digits anywhere.
The way that the Electoral College works, am I mistaken, even if the dark horse candidate got 100% of the vote, couldn't the GOP old timers just vote the way they want anyway?
Of course. They always just do whatever they want. How they get there might be, you know, up for debate, but they always get there. Yeah, they always get whatever they want.
If Bernie Sanders got 100% of the popular vote, I think that the people that do the electing actually could just vote for Hillary anyway.
It's possible.
She's a liar, a socialist, and her pantsuit smells. Okay, go on.
Anyway, so they said, like, but hey, tinkle. Thanks. You know what? If it wasn't for you guys, you know, we would have a guy in there out representing our interests. I said, our interests? What are you talking about? Our interests? Like, he might be, you know, an advocate for your interests, but not mine. And, like, what are you talking? And for instance, I mentioned Ed Snowden, okay, who Rand Paul said he should share a cage or share a jail cell with Clapper, okay?
Ew.
Right? He said, yeah, they should both share a cage together, okay? And he was very specific about it, you know, what he said, too. He said the director of national intelligence committed perjury in front of the Senate committee. My understanding is that's about a 5-year sentence. I think there have to be laws against what Snowden did. And then he says, if I had a choice, I'd put Clapper and Snowden in the same jail cell for about the same period of time. So specifically referencing 5 years. So there's no way to, you know, or how would you interpret that, right? So this came up, and it was explained to me that when he said Rand Paul would, that what Rand Paul meant was, because he knew Clapper would never go to jail, that he's really saying that he doesn't want Snowden to go to jail. This is this weird, twisted gymnastics that people will do to transmute just another average politician into some kind of like hero that fits their vision of what they want to see. It's just such fantasy that I just found it somewhat shocking.
Yeah. Get it out of your system. You got 30 more seconds.
Oh, well, listen, I'm going to just say, for the next 30 seconds, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to talk about. We need to talk about the military, foreign aid, Iran sanctions, the drug war. Yeah, Rand Paul, no friend of liberty. Never has
been. But that's not what we're going to talk about when we come back, because we're the Freedom Fiends.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by everyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Right on. Worms.
Worms.
All right. Welcome to hour two. So I was ranting on about Rand Paul. Not that I'm interested in Rand Paul. I mean, his campaign's over. This is old news, right?
Like, right.
But the reason I brought him up in the last segment was, it just seems, you know, it's like, you know, we encounter people all along their development. They're you know, I don't expect everyone to be an anarchist, and you know, I work with tons of people in all different fields, different stages of their, you know, of their exploration of liberty and how far they've come with their philosophy, and you know, and everybody's different, and I love everybody, you know, but I just, to be actually, you know, and when I had a conversation, and when I was actually attacked, you know, I'm basically saying, like, not only, you know, like, I'll tolerate them. I'm like, I don't think their strategy is the best, but I'm not going to, like, yell at somebody because they're a Rand Paul supporter. You know, I'll make fun of the Rand Paul's bad ideas, but, like, I'm not going to yell at somebody, like.
Right.
But, like, they actually, like, this person yelled at me for not supporting Rand Paul. And thinking like, but he's, you know, he's on your side. I'm like, you know, and what that showed is like, I realized he had a totally different perception of this politician than I did. Like, we both had these two visions in our head, you know, and he had this idea of somebody that, you know, is on the same side as an anarchist, you know, or just, you know, even a libertarian, or however you want to describe it, somebody who's definitely on the side of freedom. And I'm like, well, you know, it's definitely not on my side of things.
No, not mine either. I'm right there with you.
And, 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 And I know from my own research that this politician is not on is not on these guys' side either. Like, I'm not saying, but the positions are so easy to, when you believe so hard, you just morph them into what you want them to be. So even though Rand Paul said that he thinks that Snowden should be in a cage for about 5 years, and compared his crime to the severity of Clapper, who committed perjury, okay, and yeah. spied on all of America, okay?
Yeah.
So he says, yeah, they're both, yeah, they should both do about the same amount of time. Really? Wow. meanwhile, we're all just celebrating the courage and brilliance of Ed Snowden at the same event. So, you know, and stuff like, you know, one of the reasons that I got into libertarianism was because I thought all these this endless war was horrible. You know, Rand Paul comes out and wants to expand the military, right? So, you know, and I know that these people don't want like military interventions either, but they're willing to say, yeah, you know, they overlook that he actually put in a budget amendment to add money to the defense budget, okay, to expand mm-hmm. it substantially, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, get this. Here's some of the things that he voted for. And I say this not to diss Rand Paul, but to say, like, you know, do you value peace and freedom? Okay. He voted to appropriate $600 million to the Syria Train and Equip Fund. Okay. $600, like, that's supposed to be, you know, that's a libertarian position? I don't think so. And then I looked at this a little bit more, and I'm like, there's some weird stuff in here. Oh, so this is all this money. Okay, this is like a military appropriation bill. There's a line in it that prohibits any of this money to be used to divest, retire, transfer, or place into storage an A-10 aircraft.
What?
Okay. Right. I'm like, what? So like, hey, here's a whole bunch more money for war, as long as you don't spend it to mothball that plane, because why? Right?
Right.
Well, gee, somebody's factories in somebody's congressional district, right? There's no other explanation for a line like that, right?
Right.
Like, since when is Congress micromanaging, like, when to put a plane into storage, right?
Yeah.
Well, somebody's big contract's on the line. But hey, Rand's like, yep, you know. And people still believe, like, yep, he's the one who's going to be, you know, like, he's just like his dad on foreign policy. No.
No. Oh, my goodness. Not at all. No.
You know, Rand Paul supported sanctions in Iran. Okay.
Yeah.
The kind of sanctions that his dad called an act of war. Okay. I mean, that's, you know, this is not just, you know, some small matter. So, you know, and then the person who was yelling at me was very active in the weed legalization community, you know, and, so, you know, you'd think, like, wow, maybe he would know Rand Paul's position on the drug war. But he actually thought he was against the drug war, too, even though he had been quoted as saying, you know, no, he's not a libertarian. He's not against legalizing everything. He did a special meeting with, like, evangelicals just to assure them, okay, with these evangelical pastors. After the meeting, one of the pastors said he made it very clear that he does not support legalization of drugs like marijuana and that he supports traditional marriage. Okay, that was his message. You know, he says, I'm not a libertarian. I'm a libertarian Republican. I'm a constitutional conservative. You know, I'm not sure what any of that stuff is. But
libertarian Republican.
Yeah. So that's anyway, funny. So here's a guy who's clearly not, you know, clearly a drug warrior, clearly somebody who supports the military industrial complex, you know, and like, and I'm, but yet I'm the, you know, I'm a problem because I'm just too much of a purist not to get on board with all of this.
It's just easier to blame you because otherwise the person would have to admit that. there are errors in their logic or whatever you want to call it.
How about Guantanamo Bay? Is Guantanamo Bay a libertarian? Is keeping Guantanamo Bay open a libertarian position? What do you think?
No.
Right?
Keeping it open, no.
Right. Ron Paul was clear. Ron Paul said, this is not an American system. He said it's become a symbol for torture and secret renditions. Okay?
Yes.
Rand says, I have not come down on the position of closing Guantanamo Bay. Really, Rand? Guantanamo, seriously, indefinite detention, that's okay. I guess I'm just so much of a purist, I can't get behind indefinite detention either, like Rand can. So anyway,
yeah, gosh, shame on you. You're just
but right, anytime somebody uses the word like, oh, you're just a libertarian purist, what does that really mean? How
say
do you...
Thank you. I would say thank you. I get it all the time, too. All the time.
But what are they really accusing you of when somebody calls you that as a pejorative?
I think, I don't know. I mean, I see it as a compliment, but I think they mean it as, maybe they're trying to suggest that we're unrealistic. That's what I get all the time. You live in a fantasy world. It's unrealistic. People are evil. Okay,
yeah.
Well, people are evil. Let's vote them into office then and have them control
everything.
Seriously,
but you're going to yell at somebody for being like, I'm not really into sanctions against Iran and indefinite torture and expanding the military industrial complex and perpetuating the drug war.
Yeah, we're the crazy ones.
Yeah.
We're the ones,
because we're supposed to accept that, see?
Right.
See, we would
it's always been.
We would eventually have freedom if we could just accept all of these, inevitabilities of political reality.
Yes. It's our fault. I can't wrap my head around that.
Anyway,
it happens to me all the time. I get
yeah, and I don't mention this specifically because I even care about Rand Paul, and even though this person who yelled at me for not supporting Rand Paul, I still consider him somebody that I respect. But there's this weird mentality when people get behind a candidate, somehow just the irrational process turns off, and we see it with Bernie, we see it with Obama. There's no shortage of that.
It's like idol worship. It's like when people become obsessed with a celebrity and then they make excuses for them when they do something terrible. It reminds me of that. It's not critical thinking. It's not being objective. They find this one person, like you said, and they latch onto them. This is a person that's going to be our savior. And I'll say, well, have you really looked at their voting history? And people will say, well, I don't have time to do all of that. And I
right.
say, well, how can you support somebody without knowing what they're really about? I mean, don't listen to the rhetoric. They're telling you what you want to hear, or you're hearing what you want to hear.
And I think politicians, the successful ones, they learn how to just play you like a violin. They know how to say the right thing that transmutes in people's heads into what they want to hear, even though you write it out on paper and they didn't say anything. It's like,
right.
We're going to make America great again. Think about that slogan. What does that really mean?
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't mean anything, but you put it inside somebody's head and everybody has their own vision of greatness for America. Right. Some people are like, yeah, we're going to get rid of those Mexicans. That's their vision of
we're going to build them all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, their own, version of what's going to be great. That is, could be a horrible tyranny for other people. Right.
Right. It's just vague enough. Like you're saying, it's just vague enough for it to mean whatever how it's going to be interpreted by the listener.
Right. Somebody's concerned about jobs. Oh, America's going to be great again. Yeah. When we had jobs. Yeah. See, he wants to help with jobs. He's going to help with jobs. Of course, I'm going to support Trump because he's a jobs guy. Well, what do you mean he's a jobs guy? Well, he said he's going to make America great again, and that's what we need. Oh. Okay,
The thing I always hear about him is, well, he tells it like it is. He's not afraid. And I'm like, what? every politician does that. They say whatever they want to say, and to me, that's not always a good thing anyway. You know, just because. I mean,
he does stand out from the rest of the pro. I'm talking like the you know, the pro league politicians, right? The people that make it into that circle, they usually have been better trained than Trump, and that's why he's a little bit refreshing to folks.
Around the edges, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna take a trip to the market.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Jim Babb with Lisa DeLascio.
Hey, worms.
All right, Lisa, you have, we need to reach into the mailbag. You have some, I mean, we're overwhelmed by listener comments, but this was one in particular that I thought we should cover. So what do you have for us?
Yeah, this one really stood out. It's from a show last week that we did called Don't Trust Cops, Call a Crackhead. And the listener's name is Bad Slave, apparently listens on radio in Chicago. Said, love the show, but please, no more fungus or worm talk. Thank you.
That's fair. I think that's a fair criticism. And, you know, why would we be talking about funguses and worms on this show? I have no idea.
Question.
I think
it's what we do.
Yeah, but perhaps it's time to reflect on that. Like,
time to do some reflecting and some self-examination and
yeah, like
figure out our priorities here.
Exactly. Oh, that's great. I appreciate it. I love the Bad Slave moniker. I think that's
great. Yeah, I do too. I had to read that. I thought that was creative. I'd like to know more about that.
Yeah. So I think so folks, please keep sending that. Keep sending those comments.
Yeah, give us the feedback and the commentary. And
yeah, right. Even if if you're questioning what we're doing, we want to hear from you. Like, definitely.
Here comes the flood of the mailbag. It's going to overflow now.
Oh,
Michael's
man.
Going no right now. Oh goodness.
So, you'd mentioned Kanye West for some reason. I forget why, but he has a new job prospects. Is that something about a possible new career opportunity for him?
Yeah, this guy, I don't follow celebrity stories, but, you know, stuff comes up on Twitter and you see it and sometimes you can't help, but, you know, it catches your eye. But yeah, so I guess last week Kanye was saying that he's broke, like $53 million in debt. So, you know, people have been reaching out and offering him income opportunities.
Uh-huh.
This time, the Philadelphia police, they want to offer him a job. So they tweeted a photoshopped picture of with Kanye's face put on a cop's body. And the message says, we are hiring Kanye West, starting salary of $47,920. You could be debt-free by the year 3,122.
Nice. But, you know, to be fair, though, I think they said he's going to have to start at the bottom, like hassling motorists, working his way up to where he can shake down convenience stores. That's not going to come till later. And then this is a traditional Philly PD career. You're not really going to get into the ripping off drug dealer money until like you're in for about 5 or 10 years. So
yeah, no civil asset forfeiture yet.
Right.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Soon, though. A couple of months, you can start working on that.
I don't know if I've ever heard
and taking their money. And
yeah, I don't know if I've ever heard any of his music before, but I'm thinking he's probably better off making albums than
kind of funny
joining this gang. You know,
yeah, it's kind of funny because he has a song called Gold Digger. The irony, and now he's, you know, being a gold digger, like, hey, you know, Mark Zuckerberg and all these other executives of like huge companies, can you guys invest in Kanye West ideas and, you know, give me a couple billion, thanks. Oh, who's a gold digger now?
Maybe we should have more. Let's get some listener feedback. Should we do more celebrity stories? You know, I mean, is this something? Is there a market demand for this? You know, I'm trying to get a handle on this Kanye West. I got interested in Kanye when I first heard about Coinye. When I heard this guy's going to have his own cryptocurrency, I'm like, what? Anyway, but it turns out he says he's personally rich, but he needs other people's money for business projects. See,
right,
so he's
yeah.
It's just kind of like I think this is the Trump effect, right?
I think it is. That's what Trump said. I mean,
like where you walk around like you're rich and you're all that, but meanwhile, like you're going bankrupt with everyone else's money. So,
yep. Yeah, that's. Trump did in bankruptcy court. He actually said that I'm smart enough to know to use other people's money for this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Why do you think he wants to be president? You know, like imagine all the companies that can go bankrupt at once.
Is he going to file bankruptcy for the U.S. since what's the national debt like $17 billion now?
Oh, wouldn't that be cool if that was the whole game the whole time? He's like, look, I'm finally bringing you my experience with bankruptcy, and I'm going to show you how to get these bankers off your back. This is how we're going to this is how the pros default. Let me show you how it's done. Like, yeah.
You're listening to the Philippines, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
So, okay, Kanye.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
And this is the Freedom Fiends. We're back.
All right. So we're doing our celebrity roundup. Is that where we were?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I had one more thing I wanted to say about Kanye, because for some reason lately I can't stop talking about him. It's kind of, I don't know, I think I might need help, James.
I think you might
have some ideas.
Everybody's interested in Kanye, I hear. I don't know. Yeah, why not, right?
Help it. Yeah, normally I don't know what's going on in the celebrity world, but this is just so funny. So about that tweet, so, you know, the Philadelphia police want to offer Kanye a job. So, of course, whenever the police tweet something out, you know, when they're trying to be funny and, like, make light of a situation and get people to like them, someone comes in and, like, just lays the smack down.
Yeah, so yeah, and it's always tweeted, so easy, right? And then they get, like, shared a billion times.
Oh, yeah. So someone tweeted in response to all this, like, there's this whole long Twitter conversation going on about Kanye and his debt and him, you know, being a police officer. And someone came in and said, Philly police, this is why people hate the police, because this is what they choose to do with their time. Kill black people and tweet dumb stuff.
It's the truth. I mean,
I know,
it is the truth. So, you know,
call it like it is.
I mean, Philly PD, I don't know if you remember the story, just to sort of give you a flavor for how they operate. It was only a couple years ago. They do stop and frisk, where they just pick random minority people they want to oppress, and they just like up against the wall, and they pat them down, and they have this sort of occupation mentality. Well, this one child was getting the treatment, and this policewoman ruptured his testicle in the process. Okay.
I did hear about that. Yeah.
Like, seriously, you know, so, you know, I'm suggesting certain police reforms in Philly, one of which would be a perhaps a 10% reduction in child testicle rupturing. Like,
how
let's,
about it?
Yeah, let's not, nothing too crazy, but could we just scale it back, you know, roll it back gradually, you know, baby steps.
Just little increments. Yeah. Just try to ease up a little bit on the testicles.
Philly. Grief. Yeah.
I mean,
anyway, but so, you know, you had a you were telling me about somebody that made a 911 call, which I thought was kind of interesting. It sounded like a Florida man style story.
Yeah, go Florida. So this guy was he got arrested for calling 911 to talk about random topics like Hitler and Jews. And he was arrested and charged with misuse of the 911 system. So according to the police report, Michael Gilman called the emergency line 5 times in 5 hours on Saturday.
Wow.
Yeah, he was asked not to call unless he had an emergency, but he kept calling. So finally the police...
Was it an emergency?
Apparently.
I mean, maybe he really needed to talk about that. I mean, like...
He really needed to. I think he might be a Trump fan. I bet you he's a Trump follower.
Well, was he? Did they have to eventually deploy a car to go out and shoot him, or what did they do for him? Obviously, the guy needs some kind of mental therapy, you know, mental health care. But I'm assuming they tried to hurt him at least. Or
they did show up at his house, and when they showed up, guess what he was doing? He was on the phone. Talking to the dispatcher about Hitler and Jews.
Oh, see.
And the police officer said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm talking to your dispatcher because I'm bored.
And they're like, oh, dear God, please get that person in jail. Or maybe the thing like, don't bring him back to jail. No way. We don't want that guy. Not him. No, not him again. But there's an app I saw advertised on Facebook that this guy needs. I don't know if you've seen this, but it was one of these like sponsored ads, and it was for an app that you can get called Talkspace. Okay, and I was looking at some of the ads on this. It's called Talkspace Online Therapy, the most effective, convenient, and affordable way to feel better. Okay, so yeah. it has these graphics. One of them says, swipe left to start feeling happier. Swipe left to talk all about your stressful day. Swipe left to chat about your broken heart. Swipe left to get it all off your chest. Only $19 a week.
Swipe left to talk about Hitler and the Jews.
For $19 a week, you can just talk to it. They'll let you get it all off your chest.
Oh, gosh.
I think this is a brilliant business model. I think
I
it is.
Too. Wish I'd thought of it.
Yeah.
I think. Although, I don't know. People are calling and talking about Hitler and the Jews and Trump and I don't know what I will.
You see, but the thing is that they're probably talking to like an automated system. Like I'm assuming, like if this app is really clever, it would connect people like that together and charge them both $19 a week to talk to each other.
That is a great idea. Sort of like matchmaking.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever your complaints are about life, we're going to pair you up with someone who gets it.
Well remember the Rumbler app spoof that somebody had made?
No. What?
Oh, this is so good. It was kind of like, it was modeled after Tumblr, like a dating app, but this was Rumbler, so you could set up dates to fight people. Okay.
No way.
Like swipe left if you want to punch him in the face, you know, and like if he wants to punch you, then you can set up a rumble. And it was a parody, but a satire, but it was really convincing and they really did a good job with it. And, you know, but maybe there would be some way to do something like this for, you know, for these kind of people. They're like, you know, swipe left to tell this guy about your day, you know, like
swipe left to complain about anarchists ruining Rand Paul's shot at the presidency.
Yeah, right. Or yeah. Or swipe left to, you know, to compare notes about your colon, you know,
and your fungus.
Somebody could do a great job with it where you say, what if you just put in like keywords for what you wanted to chat about? Like, you know, fungus, colon, boom, you know, like suddenly Michael W. Dean is matched up with other people with these exact same conditions.
They've got to be out there.
Yeah.
They're out there. You just got to find them.
And imagine, like, what if they're feeling isolated, like, and really, like, alone, you know, with their... Anyway, I'm
and they had
sorry.
No idea.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Let's apologize to Bad Slave because we.
I was thinking we're going to get in trouble.
I'm sorry. We.
We can't help it.
Right. We're learning. We're trying.
Yes, it's a teaching hospice, so, you know.
So anyway, yeah, Talkspace online therapy. You know, buy some ads from us. Yeah, you know, we're already out here repping you.
Yeah. So go do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you say, speaking of celebrities, I think you wanted to bring up something about Beyonce and the NYPD?
Oh, yeah, right. Because this is, Freedom Fiends covers celebrity issues now. I'm trying to get up to speed. I've never paid Hollywood or much attention. But I remember that I tuned in for the Super Bowl show. Did you watch that Super Bowl show?
I did not watch it. No. One of 10 Americans who didn't watch it, I guess.
I didn't watch the game. I was more interested in seeing what, because I they're going to put on a big show, right? It's going to be, it's not going to disappoint in production quality. So.
Right.
But anyway, Beyonce did a dance performance to, I forget the name of the song, but anyway, evidently
Formation,
right? And it's I'm not sure what exactly was offensive to the NYPD about this. Perhaps because they were it was sort of a tribute to the Black Panthers is kind of what I got out of it. At least as like a costuming theme, they had the black berets and had sort of a militant look to them. I didn't see anything that would be perceived as threatening, but evidently the NYPD. Okay. Whoa, our feelings are hurt. You know. Oh. But I mean, why would it's like your dancing has to be awesome to offend the NYPD. Like seriously, like you dance so that choreography was so fly that NYPD has demanded an apology. Like how does that happen? Are they that sensitive and delicate, Lisa?
I think now they are. I think they are. It's remember, there's a war on cops happening. So,
it's
Beyonce
tragic.
Apparently is adding fuel to the fire with her dancing.
I think literally they were offended because she was about as far removed from the persona of an uppity slave as you can get. And I think they just she just commanded this air of defiance to authority and rebellion. And I think that's what hurt their feelings. Like, she doesn't look like she's going to take orders from us.
This article says the cops are bitter and they want her to publicly disavow violence or any type of aggression toward police. And while she's at it, they'd like an explanation as to what she really meant. Oh, boo-hoo.
I don't know what she really meant. It was just a dance performance and a song. I guess, has she said what she really meant? Did anybody ask her?
I haven't heard. It's a good question. I don't know. Apparently the NYPD isn't the only police department that's, getting whiny about this. Cops in some other states have said they won't work security for her shows. She has a show coming up in Florida, I guess, and they're saying that, we're not going to come and help out for that. Sorry, you're on your own.
Good. You know what? Yeah, and every one of her fans is going like, yeah, like seriously, like we needed you out in the parking lot reading license plates, looking for outstanding warrants. Get lost, losers.
Looking for people who didn't get their emissions tests.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, expired emission sticker.
No.
Let's revenue generate. Yeah. If Beyonce doesn't apologize, we're not going to hassle you over your broken taillight.
Right. No blood shampoos for
remember the last time NYPD, we got all upset and they're like, well, we're gonna stop enforcing all the useless laws. What?
And crime went down.
Yeah. And like Right. All the ticketing went down. Everybody cheered. All the violent crime. Everyone, like, the town just became happier and more peaceful and pleasant. And then suddenly they're like, guys, we better go back to work because they're starting to like it this way. You know, let's get back out there and remind them why we're in charge.
Yeah, we can't have that. I mean, you know, people weren't getting choked to death over untaxed cigarettes.
Yeah, we're not going to choke down black people anymore for cigarettes. Yeah. Gosh.
It's anarchy.
Yeah. So, you know, I wasn't really a Beyonce fan, but hey, she's made them grumpy. She must be doing something right.
I know. That's kind of how I see it.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Freedom Fiends. All right, we're back.
We're back.
This is our final segment.
It is. Time flies. Wow.
Man,
time flies when you're ranting.
Yeah. You know, we usually use this segment for good news, the redemption in the third act.
Well,
there's some new developments in this Apple case that I just think I can't exactly call it good news, but it sure is hysterical. So,
yeah, it's not really that surprising. It's kind of funny. Yeah.
Right. So we're talking about for anybody that didn't hear about it, anyway, there's this iPhone that the San Bernardino shooter allegedly had, and the big story was that the FBI asked Apple to write a custom OS that would allow them to circumvent security features and get at the data on this phone, and Apple said, "No, we're not going to do that." And that's an interesting story right there, right?
Yeah, it really is. It's been the talk of the town.
So what is this new development concerning the password that they basically are trying to get around? Where did that password come from?
FBI admits iPhone mistake that may have cost it the evidence.
And what was that mistake?
FBI investigators seeking to recover data from the iPhone of one of the shooters asked a technician in the California county to reset the phone's iCloud password. So that apparent fog of war error has foreclosed the possibility of an automatic backup by the phone to the Apple iCloud servers that might have turned up more clues as to the origins of the terrorist attack that killed 14 people.
Now, this is interesting, isn't it? Now, I'm not a conspiracy person, right? Okay.
Right.
But all right, so you've got this terrorist attack, and they've got a phone, and the FBI changes the password and then forgets what they changed it to. Is that what I'm actually being told?
Looks like that's what we're being told. Like I've said before, they could mess up a two-car parade. I mean...
Well, it brings us to the inevitable quandary that as we ponder government and actions. It's like, are they real? Is it like utter incompetence, which is always a go-to position, right? It's you can never rule out extreme incompetence. It's always on the table. And then it's like, or are they completely rooted in evil? Okay. Also always on the table.
Always.
Okay. So we have to look at this and be like, is it, which percentage of which is it? Is it there's always a combination. I don't know. Do you think the FBI would have do you think they had something to hide on that phone? Or is that conspiracy talk?
Perhaps. I think anything's possible. I think that's just being open-minded, not conspiracy talk. I mean, strange.
I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt of not being complete idiots, right? So
it's a little scary to think that they would be that stupid. It really is. I mean,
reassuring, depending on your relationship with the FBI. Okay, so
That's true. That's true.
I mean, look at the FBI's, big enemies, and
Yeah. Good point. Good point. Maybe this is a good sign. I don't know. It's
one of the, speaking of the FBI and part of the presentation this weekend from Ed Snowden, he brought attention to a situation where they're like, this person was the was considered by the FBI to be the most dangerous person, you know, and they, I forget exactly how he described it, but anyway, he said, you know, there was a person that the FBI described as their top most dangerous, subversive, you know, like element in the United States, and it ended up being Martin Luther King.
You know, you've got to be kidding me. No. I mean, I knew there were a lot of things that happened with him that were really sketchy, but
right. They picked, you know, I mean, the FBI has picked some of like the best heroes to be their enemies. So I'm not going to be rooting for the FBI to suddenly learn how to hack phones. That's for sure.
Yeah. So, good point.
Anyway, let's just hope that they don't get it.
Let's hope.
You know, hey, John McAfee said, "Hey, I'll decrypt it for free, for the lulz." I think that's not exactly what he said, but that's how I interpret it. But he, so I don't.
It'd probably take him 5 minutes to do it too.
I don't know. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. John McAfee. I think he said, what did he say? He wants to hack it so they don't have to put a backdoor into the OS. So.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know. Anyway, don't put anything too important on your phone. Let's just leave it at that. Because either John McAfee's friends are going to hack it, or the FBI is going to hack it, or...
they're going to lose the password.
Yeah, or they'll just...